views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. For expert advice on love and relationships, you can submit your questions online at AskDrLove.com or post comments and questions to Dr. Love while you're watching live over Google Hangouts or YouTube. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you today. We're talking with David M. Matthews, the author of Every Man Sees You Naked, An Insider's Guide to How Men Think. So, and Dave's a pretty well-known guy. He has a really illustrious career. He's an Emmy Award-winning composer, writer, producer. He's worked for such shows as The Young and the Restless, Mad About You, The Nanny, Living Single, and Half and Half. And his experiences in and out of showbiz have given him a unique perspective that he openly and boldly shares in a very humorous way with anyone who will listen. So, are you with me, David?
I am.
Hello.
Hi.
So listen, we're going to have a naked interview. I'm seeing you naked through the phone.
Well, that's good. I will do the same for you.
You're just going to do what's true to a man's got to do what a man's got to do, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I was referred to you by another radio host, and she said to me, "You got to have him on your show." She said, "We wanted to hate him, but we couldn't hate him. We loved him."
Oh, well, that's so nice. I like that people's preconceived notion of me are dispelled when they talk with me.
Right. But, you know, anytime you take a strong position, you arouse strong reactions, both positive and negative.
You know what? I think that's absolutely true. I've gotten many reviews on my book, and overwhelmingly they've been positive. But the people who don't like the book really don't like the book, and they don't like my point of view.
Oh, yeah. I have been the subject of a witch hunt on Amazon that I've never been through this before, because people tend to just love me, you know, because I'm crazy and I'm balls out and I'm all these things that you don't expect from a female shrink. But I got into some kind of PC's bonnet, you know, like I said something in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye that one reviewer misconstrued. They ran with this that I condone rape, and it became this whole thing. I just found this out this week. Everybody was all up in arms, and then they obviously, you know, organized this whole deal against me. You know, it's like, you've got to ban her and you've got to boycott her. She condones rape. And I mean, it's so ridiculous, because it was a case of a wife who was allowing her husband to have sex with her when he was drunk, and she didn't want the sex, but she never bothered to tell him. So they come to me for therapy, and the first thing I do is I say, speak up and tell him. Stop condoning this. Stop enabling. And she did, and he cut it out. So this became, I condoned rape. I should have told her to kick his ass to the curb and kill him off. It's like, I should be punitive, right, with a guy who's coming in wanting to get help. And it was so awful. So I do know what it's like when people decide to go at you, right?
It's crazy, because they come in with a chip on their shoulder, and they're looking for some reason to not like you. I've gotten reviews saying things like, and when I say reviews, these are reader reviews on Amazon, saying things like, this is the biggest load of garbage I've ever read. If I believed men were really like this, I could never even see one again. And I'm thinking, well, you might not like what I'm saying, but that doesn't mean it's not true. There are things that are going to exist in the world that you're not going to like, and you have to make a decision if you're going to live in the reality of the world or if you're going to live in your own fantasy world. And I try and, you know, burst that fantasy bubble as much as I can so that people can deal with reality.
You know, and the thing is also, whenever you're trying to present an argument, whether it be orally or in writing, you have to make certain generalizations in order to make a point. So, I mean, obviously you can't, unless you want to go on for 6 or 7 hours or 600 pages, you describe trends and nuances. You know, the nuances get lost. So if we're saying men tend to be visually stimulated, I mean, we know this, the studies show this. Is every man this way? No. Are some women this way? Yes. But when you're trying to make a point, we talk in terms of statistical tendencies or the majority. And so once you do this, now it's like you're a misogynist, you're sexist. That's also, once they banded together and got all pissed off, then they just decided to rip up the book one side and down the other, that I'm sexist and misogynist because I'm talking about the tendency for guys to become overly stimulated, but I don't mean sexually stimulated, by female criticism, that they have a hardwired tendency to be hyperreactive to stress and danger. And it's just built into the male anatomy, and it predates to prehistoric times. I'm just reporting the news. I didn't, you know, make this up. The research shows this. We know that the male physiology is more hyperreactive. Is this sexist to report what we have found in the lab to be true? So, I mean, you're describing here, when you say every man sees you naked, you're talking about the way that most men tend to be visually turned on. Isn't that what we're speaking? Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, the old saying, women fall in love through their ears, men fall in love through their eyes.
That is so true. And I found that when I first started writing the book, at my wife's encouragement, actually, I found that some women, you know, were onto this, that, you know, basically every guy that looks at them instantly imagines them naked. And then there were a whole wide group of women that were either in denial or had never heard this before. It was like new information to them. They couldn't believe that the average person that they met on the street that was a male was immediately picturing them that way. And many women were horrified by the thought and wanted to take it out on me that I was somehow
The messenger, right?
Exactly.
This is how the brain is wired. You know, it's like when I happen to be buxom, right? So when I meet men, I see them getting like a whiplash as their eyes go down to the boobs. I swear every time. Then the head bounces back up like a buoy, you know? And it's like, I think they're giving themselves a whiplash when they try to correct for the, I just checked you out, whap, and the head goes back up.
Right. It's, you know, breasts for men are like a big neon sign. And, you know, we look, you could say eat at Joe's, but that's what catches our eye. And, you know, that's where we go. And you know, some of us have learned to be a little more subtle about it. You know, we learn to concentrate, focus on your eyes, you know, not be constantly drifting to the south. But with regularity, that's just what we do, and it's not to be taken as an insult. It's not to be taken as anything other than what it is, and that is our attention is immediately drawn there.
You know, in Molière, one of Molière's plays, the woman is wearing a very low cut dress, and the character says, "Cache-moi ces seins que je ne saurais pas les voir." It's like, hide your breasts from me so I don't have to see them. And the French call the breasts, they have a nickname for them, the bait.
Oh, how apropos.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? And I love their sayings. And they also say, when you're buxom, il y a du monde au balcon, which means there's a lot of people in the balcony. It's a full balcony, a full house. So I guess I'm a boob man, you know. Well, what am I going to say?
Well, you know, it's funny because I write lots of advice columns and lots of columns that aren't specifically advice, but just talking about how men think. And I have found that my columns that deal with breasts on any level always get the most views. These are the columns that are the most popular, regardless of what my other columns are about or how intriguing or controversial they may be. I can't top boobs.
You can't top boobs.
No.
That's a riot. So The disconcerting truth about why guys ask women out. This is like one of your first little ones that you wanted to talk about, and that I'm sure people bash you on this one. So listen, misery loves company, since I found out about this week. I'm
right.
Not used to this public bashing. No, I was surprised to see all this. So sure. Tell me, what is it? Disconcerting truth.
I'm going to throw myself out there. What it is there are, for women, there are a lot of reasons that they might want to go out with a guy. They find him interesting or funny. They don't have anything better to do. A friend of theirs has said, this is a good guy, you should meet him. They're lonely. They think that they should increase their social life. There are just tons and tons of reasons why a woman might go out with a man. For a man, there's really only one reason he wants to go out on a date for a woman. Now, please, I'm excluding, business meetings or things that have other agendas. But truly, going out on a date, the reason a man asks a woman out on a date is ultimately because he wants to sleep with her. He is sexually attracted to her. That is his goal for the date. Now, he realizes that this first date may not end that way, or the second date may not end that way, but that is his ultimate goal. And because of that, that's where all his attention, and that's what he's thinking of. So
the procreative imperative, I want to get laid.
Exactly.
Right? But
exactly.
You know what's very interesting, Dave, when you ask men, because women know that guys are very sexually driven, right? And I'm not saying women aren't too. Now I got to constantly do this,
I'm
a politician, right? He's like, don't kill me. I got to get a bodyguard. So I'm not saying that women aren't also hot to trot too. But the thing is, because women know that men are really thinking, every 3 seconds about getting laid, so often women will try to be sex objects in how they present themselves to men. They're coming on, they're dressing in sexy ways, they're showing off the bait, the boobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you listen to what men say, you will hear men say, even though they want to get laid and that's what they're thinking about, they don't like when women objectize them and approach them as though you're just a penis to jump, or you're going to be using your sexuality to manipulate me and treat me like an object that you just want to get in the sack. Do you know what I'm saying to you?
I do know exactly. We don't trust a woman who comes on too strong to us. We love it. But we have a certain reluctance because it's not the normal way of things. It's not what we are accustomed to. And unless we are are in an environment where we're absolutely the only choice for all the women there, we don't get why women are making such a hard play for us, because this is just not what we're accustomed to. And we feel that it's not as much as we lose interest in you, but suddenly we think there's an ulterior motive. Suddenly we feel a little bit like we're being pressured into something that we otherwise would be very interested in.
Because now you're going to the point of, that men are hardwired to be the hunters
mm-hmm.
and the pursuers. So if a woman is doing a lot of that, you're starting to think, wait a minute, you're reversing my kind of the natural order of things, where I want to feel like I have to do a little bit of a chase here. And it's sort of built into my genes, that I want to chase you. So if you're doing a lot of pursuing, what is it that you want? You want to get into my wallet, not into my drawers? Do you think I'm rich? You're trying to snare me in some way? You get suspicious when it seems
right.
That natural order is being reversed.
Well, we don't like being the prey.
No.
Let's break it down. It's exactly right. We become uncomfortable with that. We're unaccustomed to it. And the other part of it is, then enters all the stressors that we try and keep out of the whole sexual realm, like performance anxiety. Well, wait a second. Now,
Now, hold on to that, because that performance anxiety is big. So I have to take a break, but hold on to it, literally and figuratively. All right, Dave?
Got it.
I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Love Bites. with Dr. Love.
Did you know that you should never use your Peter as a love meter? No wonder Mark is missing the mark, because every time he takes a new woman to bed, he ends up scratching his head. His big head, I mean. How can he tell if he's in love or only in lust? Time. Simple lust usually fades within a few weeks to months, while true romantic love lasts. So remember, when it comes to gauging whether you're in love or only in lust, never use your Peter as a love meter. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of Ask Dr. Love on WebTalkRadio.net.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1995. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of Dr. Love's relationship advice columns or submit a question to her free advice column. Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, so take advantage of this unique opportunity to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. This show is for you, the listener, so if you have a question for her, call in during the live show broadcast or catch the archive show on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Now, back to Dr. Love.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm talking about Every Man Seeing You Naked with David Matthews. So, Dave, this is the time in the show I call Dr. Love's Quickie, because it's a short 6-minute segment. So we got to get in and we got to get out. And you were talking about, just before we took the break, you were talking about guys being worried that when they get turned into prey, they think, what's the woman's hidden agenda? And I had to interrupt you. So do you want to finish that thought?
Well, what I was saying is it can induce a certain amount of performance anxiety. In the natural order of things, we feel like we kind of know what's going on, and we have to get a woman interested in us and then kind of seduce her and perhaps even convince her to get into the bedroom, to get naked. And we're comfortable with that because that's the way it usually is. When there's a reversal of that situation, we start being suspicious, as we talked about, and that it may cause us to have some performance anxiety. Suddenly, we don't know what is expected of us. This woman is seemingly so into us. Why? Why is that happening? And any thoughts that go away from the sexual tend to cause problems sometimes with the equipment.
Right, because if you have any anxious or worried thoughts, it literally, the science of it is that it puts you into what's called sympathetic arousal mode, which is ANS arousal mode. That's what I talk about in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. And those chemicals are incompatible with sexual arousal and erections. So if you're worrying, if you've got all these worries in your big head, your little head isn't going to work in bed.
Right. And then, of course, that adds kind of insult to injury. Now suddenly you're really stressed about this. You want to perform and you're not performing, which causes you to become even more stressed, which just exacerbates the problem.
Exactly. Now let's go on this one, because since we've got a few minutes and it's a quickie, how apropos to say what a guy secretly want in bed.
Well, they can all be distilled down to one thing. There are a lot of men have a lot of different preferences, and I'm not going to go into those, but the one thing that pretty much all men want in bed is enthusiasm.
Ain't that the truth, man?
Are we talking about a
brass band screaming and yelling and cheering?
Well, depending on our environment, perhaps, but we just want to know that you really want to be there and that you want to be there with us. And everything else is so secondary. I constantly hear from women who are so concerned about lights on, lights off. Should I do this? Should I not do this? This particular thing, my boyfriend or husband wants me to engage in, and I'm not sure. It seems to turn him on. Those are all good things. But basically, if you want to be great in bed from a man's point of view, be enthusiastic.
Isn't it true? Because the thing is, if you go back to what I call the relationship essential nutrients, and they're different for men and women, because the male gender role is so goal and task oriented, a guy wants to know that he's hitting the mark for you in and out of the bed. He wants to feel appreciated and admired. Those are the two ways. So if he is doing right by you in bed, he wants to know it. He doesn't want to have sex with some, you know, unconscious person, you know. He wants to have enthusiasm. I have a patient who told me that he, after his divorce, he went to bed with a woman and he performed oral sex on her. And he says right in the middle of him going down on her, she literally sits bolt upright, puts her hands up in the air and her arms and says, "Thank you, God."
Well, that's a sign.
It's a sign. Talk about, I mean, I'm not saying you actually have to start, you know, praising the deities, but, well, that's like the old joke. I think it was a joke about the president of France. I can't remember which president. Oh, yes, it was Charles de Gaulle, that she's in bed with him and she's saying, oh my God, oh my God. And he just says to her something like, "No, in the bedroom you can call me Charles," because he thought of himself as God. But
yes.
So be enthusiastic. Let the guy know that you want to be there and he's doing a good job. And plus, it's a gift that you give to yourself. Women don't often realize this. They think, well, his head is already swollen. And I don't mean his little head in this case. I mean his big head is already swollen. If I go and praise him and let him know how great he is, he's just going to get more conceited. But the thing is, when you praise somebody for doing something that works for you, you're just inviting more of the same.
Absolutely. It's positive reinforcement, and we love
totally.
That. A lot of women worry about, I don't want to tell my guy what I really like because I don't want to hurt his feelings. And I tell them, well, it's really all in your presentation. If you present it in such a way that, you know what would make me love what we're doing even more, almost any guy is going to react positively to that because he wants to please you. He wants to think you're having a good time. And presented the right way, not critical of what he has been doing, but encouraging of what he might do, guys are going to be receptive to that.
Absolutely. You know, and then sometimes women will say, well, I don't want to hurt his ego. But the thing is, really, most guys, unless they have a very, very fragile ego, they welcome you telling them.
Absolutely.
This is what works for me. Oh, a little to the left, and this is perfect, and you got it, and you hit the, you know. They love that because, once again, men need to be admired and appreciated, right, for what they're doing for you. And that's just the way it is. And when they care about you, that they want to make you happy. So, you know, I always come up with a tweet or two and sometimes more to drive home the point of the show. So I created one tweet, just one, in honor of your visit and your message. So you ready for it?
Okay.
When you first meet, he's looking at your meat.
I love that.
That's really bad. You didn't see that one coming.
I did not, but I enjoyed it very much.
I just, you know, I'm deciding less is more. Sometimes I'll go off on a riff with these tweets. I might get 15, 20. So it's like I'm on vacation. It's August, so
yeah.
That's it. So is there one more little point you want to make during my quickie? Because we don't have time.
Oh.
We have to take a break. But
all
I'll
right.
be back with you in a moment. Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you've yearned to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even coworkers, Dr. Turndorf's Hay House book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about this book at AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. You can submit your questions at AskDrLove.com, or if you're listening in real time, you can speak to Dr. Turndorf live by calling 800-930-2819. To listen live and download the free show app, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com. All shows are archived at TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf. I'm talking with David Matthews about his really neat book, Every Man Sees You Naked, An Insider's Guide to How Men Think. So, David, now that we're back and we've got a nice little stretch here where we can talk. I know women always want to hear more about why is it that men say, I'll call you, and then they don't follow through. What's up with that?
Well, what usually happens is that is that happens at the end of a date, often a first date. And for a man, the end of a date, especially a first date, is particularly stressful. Obviously, for him, his goal was to take you to bed. And if he didn't accomplish that, he's already dealing with at least a subconscious level of disappointment. But more than that, if he likes you or even if he doesn't, he's looking for the right words to be encouraging and to let you know that that either he wants to see you again without saying those words, or if he doesn't want to see you again, he wants to politely end the night. And unfortunately, men tend to, in those situations, not be great with words. This is just a tendency. And they try and come up with something that is vaguely, innocuously positive without being committing to anything at all. And the words, I'll call you, fill the bill for them. In that moment, when they're stressing over giving you a goodnight kiss or not, or embracing you or not, terminating the date, under that stress and pressure, they say things that they often mean just goodbye, and I'll call you is one of their favorite choices. It doesn't mean they'll call you.
It's just a formula like nice to meet you. But I just
exactly.
want to back up on one of the things you said.
Sure.
Because you know how you said all he's thinking about is getting laid. It's the first date he's thinking about getting laid, and if it's not going to go that way, he's moving on to greener pastures. This is essentially what you're saying. But we also know that plenty of men will say that if a woman is too promiscuous, too easy, just has sex with him, it can often kill his wishes to form a relationship. Because if she seems too easy or too hungry, she triggers the wrong messages and intuitions in him. You know, it's like, oh, she's just hungry. She doesn't respect herself. So do you think that there's two parts in the guy's brain? It's if I just want a one-night stand, then she's not necessarily relationship material. And if she does have sex with me, I might rule her out as relationship material. What do you think about that?
Again, I think that it all comes down to the woman and the feeling we get. If we feel like she just wants to have sex with us just because we happen to be there and we're a convenience, then I think in our minds we determine, yeah, this is probably going to be a one-time thing. She's doing what a lot of guys are accused of doing. She's just looking to get laid. But if it seems like she's actually interested in us. In other words, she doesn't want to just go to bed with us. Because we're there, we're a warm body, so to speak. There's something about us, there's something about me that she finds attractive. Well, then it's a whole different story. I've never talked to a guy who slept with a woman on a first date and felt like she was into him, really into him, that wasn't turned on enough to feel like, you know what, I want to do this again, because that's another truth about guys. If we do something that we like, we want to do it over and over and over again.
Well, that's human. That's just human. We'd
absolutely
like to repeat pleasurable experiences.
Absolutely.
Right?
So if regardless of what our inclination is, if we feel like you're just using us or that you're just taking advantage of the situation because we're there, but there may be no long-term interest on your part, or there may not even be any real short-term interest on your part. As I said, we're just a warm body. Then we're going to react very differently to...
I'm going for a different angle, Dave. I'm going for the angle that, you know, there are people out there, men and women, who feel very desperate. Now, obviously,
yes,
desperation makes us do desperate things. And so often women will say or do, you know, I think the best way to hook you into a relationship with me is to have sex with you. So their desperation is what's leading them to spread their legs.
Yes.
And it's not just, oh, I want to get laid and you're just an expedient way to get laid. It's better than a vibrator and I'll never see you again. They're using the sex as a tool to try to lure you in. And I'm hungry and I think if I give you this, then you'll like me and you'll want a relationship.
Well,
do you,
I do get that, and I think that's absolutely accurate. And I think if they are doing that with a guy who's equally desperate, then they will be drawn into that web because they want to be drawn into that web. But if instead that they are out with a guy who doesn't feel that desperation in themselves, they will they will sense the desperation of the woman they're
feeling. Yep, and it's a turnoff.
It is a turnoff. Now, that doesn't mean we won't sleep with them. But it does.
You'll
mean
still
that,
do it, and you might do it more than once. But then somebody else will come along, and you'll just kick the woman to the curb, right?
Well, again, it depends. The real difference is if that's all there is to you, that desperation. If that's all we see in the relationship, then absolutely, we're involved in the relationship for the sex. But if we see something else in you, and I often tell this to women in situations where they've slept with a guy once and the guy doesn't call them, or he doesn't seem interested in, or they've had sex a few times and suddenly he's no longer interested, and they say, oh, he was just using me. And I say, well, that may be the case, but it also may be that all his attention was on getting you into bed. Mm-hmm. And if he didn't really have a good time, if he didn't find you interesting or fun or the experience particularly satisfying, this is just his way of saying that, and it's not very nice, and I understand that. But the reality is, a man is focused on getting you into bed. If he then doesn't have a particularly good time, he might not want to repeat the experience, and so therefore he might not ask you out again. And I will say, because I get a lot of furrowed brows after that, and, you know, women saying, well, he certainly seemed like he had a good time, and they're referring to his orgasm.
Sexually, right.
Right, and I say, well, you got to understand, women and men view orgasm differently. You know, for men, orgasm is our expectation for sex. Because we have an orgasm doesn't mean you rocked our world, it just means we had sex. We look at that as an automatic. We don't think, oh, I hope I have an orgasm, or I hope this is, you know, a satisfying sexual experience.
I mean, just a stiff breeze and you'll have an orgasm.
Exactly.
But,
so you haven't rocked our world. It doesn't mean we love the experience. It just means we had sex.
Yeah, so, it's a hydraulic release. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I tell a lot of women, you decide when you want to sleep with a guy. Don't be pressured into it, you know. Do it on a schedule that you're comfortable with. But understand, regardless of his interest before, once he has sex with you, then he really starts to see you. Then he really starts to address the other issues that you've been addressing all along, perhaps. And if he doesn't have a great time, if he doesn't like what he sees, then that is often the time when guys do make their exit. And
so you see, what's interesting is women use sex as a hook. They think that's the way I'm going to get you into a relationship. Guys don't think that way at all. Yeah. I can have sex with you, and if we have emotional compatibility, I may want to develop a relationship with you, but sex does not lead to a relationship. Now, for women, it more commonly does. So I always say to women, listen, if you're really looking for a relationship, you don't want to be having sex until you get a better feeling about whether this guy likes you and wants to have a relationship with you.
It's so true. And what makes that so difficult for women especially, and also for men, is that until a guy has sex with you, he has kind of his best foot forward. He's kind of trying to represent himself as the kind of person he thinks you'll be interested in, with his goal as sex. So
yes, like I'm going to be on my best behavior in order to make the conquest.
Exactly. So you don't. Mm-hmm. You the longer you draw these things out, again, I don't say, you know, jump into bed quickly. But if you're drawing it out just to see how good of friends you become, how connected you are, you have to understand that you're drawing it out for one reason, and he's trying to shorten it for a completely other reason, and you're kind of working at cross purposes.
Right, so what you're saying is, in a way, the sooner you have sex, the sooner he's going to stop trying to be on his best behavior to get laid, and then you're going to find out more about his wrinkles and his warts and his flaws.
Right, who he really is.
Who he really is once he's gotten past the sex agenda. But, you know, the problem is when you think about female anatomy, where intercourse is such an intimate act for a woman, you're taking someone into your body.
Yes.
It's not the same for a guy. So you can understand where it's more natural for a woman to become emotionally attached as a result of this physical intimacy. For a guy, his penis hangs outside of him. He whips it out all the time. He pees in public urinals. It's not as intimate an act.
Exactly.
You know, physiologically. So if, you know, a woman puts herself at risk when she just has sex and she start immediately saying, oh my gosh, we're attached. I had this huge intimacy with him and a great orgasm, and she's building up this whole relationship.
Right.
And meanwhile, you don't even know if he's on the same page. So, and you're becoming more and more involved. So it's very, very tricky, you know, how to protect yourself.
It is tricky. And again, I try and lay it all on the table as much as I can.
Well, you're going to lay it on the table too?
You know what? As much as I can. but I try and, you know, be as clear as possible that, you know, while you think you're getting to know him, you're getting to know the him he wants you to get to know, and you're the more time that goes by, the more feelings you're investing in this. So that's the danger of putting that off too long.
But it's also the danger of giving it up too soon. So it's
absolutely,
like it's really a problem.
It's kind of a no-win situation. You have to just do what feels right to you.
You know, and I like the image of keeping one eyebrow raised. You know, the idea is that don't assume if you have sex, it means you're going to have a relationship, because you have to talk to the person and find out if he's on the same page or if he just wants sex. If you protract having sex and that way you don't really see who he really is because he's still on his best behavior to get laid, in either case, keep one eyebrow raised. And you're really interviewing the other person. The person is on a probation period, you know?
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. And you're interviewing. You know, I have a guide that I give to men and women, which is critical questions to ask before you get close. And it literally shows you how to investigate the other person and find out how right you are for each other before you really take the eyebrow down.
Right.
Before you take your drawers down. Before you take your emotional drawers down and everything down. I'm going to take a brief break. I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Love Bites with Dr. Love.
Mary's about ready to give love the shove, because no matter what she tries, men don't know that she's alive. To turn guys on, Mary needs to turn on what I call green lights, nonverbal signals that let a guy know you're ready to go. Most guys won't approach a woman unless they're sure to not be rejected. So ladies, if you want to kick your love life into high gear, make your signals clear. Turn on those green lights and flash your pearly whites. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of Ask Dr. Love on Web Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you or someone you know has lost a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's best-selling Hay House book, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, presents her groundbreaking new transdimensional grief therapy method, which offers the first vehicle in history for reconnecting and making peace with the deceased. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift. A free excerpt of Love Never Dies. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf. I'm talking with David Matthews about what guys think, how they think, in addition to how they see you naked. So, David, tell me something about what you say in the book about the surprising things men like and what they really hate.
Well, I think, you know, some things, women have a preconceived notion of how guys are and what they think. And I think there are some very interesting things that they probably don't know. And a few of the things that men like are obvious. Like, for instance, sex. Men generally love sex. It's you'd be hard-pressed to find a guy who is physically fit who isn't interested in sex. Something else, a guy likes gadgets. any kind of gadget. Doesn't matter what it has to do with. If we can buy a car with more gadgets, we will do that. If we can buy electronics with gadgets, anything that is technologically interesting, we're attracted to. Something else that guys really like is any odor produced by our own body. A lot of people are surprised by it. True. We're intrigued by our own.
Is that why they say pull my pinky when they have to fart?
Yeah, I think they're trying to be funny about it. But yes, that certainly is related to that.
It's like, look what I produced. Isn't that great?
Right. We are just tickled pink about any odor that we have. And while we may, you know, bathe regularly and exhibit good hygiene, we still kind of get a kick out of that. We're always smelling.
Isn't that funny?
Now,
and?
As those are a few things that we like, some things that we really hate. One of our biggest pet peeves is unfavorable comparisons. We hate being compared to other men, whether it's your father or your brother or your uncle or your last boyfriend or the guy.
Real
who
deal breaker.
Your virginity. We don't want to be compared to them. And when you do that, it does not make us feel bad about us. It makes us feel bad about you.
Yes, because that's like a typical way of protecting the ego. I blame the other guy. And men are much more socialized to have ways of looking at the world that protect their ego and keep it strong.
Absolutely.
Right?
So
yeah,
that's
something
we...
It's the bitch.
Right. We also hate helpful suggestions on how we might improve ourselves. We hate that for similar reasons. What you're essentially saying to us is we're lacking in some way, and you know how we can be better. And while we might otherwise be receptive to the advice, if it's not presented in a really finessed way, we're going to take it as criticism, and we're going to immediately close off that criticism.
So in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, that's what I spend the whole book talking about, is how you can present your thoughts, your feelings, your needs in a way that doesn't set off this ANS arousal and the fight-flight response when a guy feels criticized. So if a woman really wants a man to change something that he's doing that doesn't work for her, you being the spokesperson for the guys, how would you like to hear about it?
Well, what I would like to hear, and I think what most guys would like to hear, is we want you to tell us what you like. In other words, don't say, I don't like this, or, you know what,
right,
you don't look good in that. Say, you know what you would look great in? You know what would really set off your eyes? You know what would, in other words,
yes,
you're creating
yes,
a picture for us of a brilliant, brighter, more attractive future. We're into that.
See, you know what's so great about what you're saying is because guys are all about solutions, right? We're goal-oriented and task-oriented men, right? Here I am, I'm identifying with men, right? So the thing is, when you tell me what you like and what you appreciate and what's working, you're giving me a roadmap because I want to please you. I'm just going to want to do more of the same.
Right.
But when you criticize me for what I'm not doing right, then I just get all wounded and hurt and withdrawn, and I don't want to give you ice in winter. So, and this is something that women, if I could just get women to get this one thing, you know, I call this a fight trap, the three Scrooges, nagging, whining, and complaining. So often when women aren't getting what they want, they go into this nagging, whining, complaining, and you're not doing this, and so-and-so does that, you know, instead of just speak a man's language and tell him what you like. And then when he does it, acknowledge him for it. The two A's, admiration and appreciation. So simple. I really love it when you do this. And then he does it, and he's like, wow, that made me happy. Don't you think he's going to want to do more of the same?
It really is so simple, and it's amazing that we all forget those things that really grease the wheels of relationships. You brought up something I think is very interesting. It's the communication aspect between couples, and you know, women always are complaining about how men are bad communicators, which is true on some level. But what is also true is that men and women often speak a different language from each other.
Right.
And men are aware of that, because they hear things like, and this is a phrase they hate, you should know why I'm upset, or you should know why I'm mad at you, or you should know what you
did. Oh, geez, that one, the mind-reading thing.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I have a whole section in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye about that one, because it's like mind-reading. When we wish a partner to mind-read, we are actually operating in the most infantile place of our, we're coming from the most infantile place within our psyche. Because at what age did we need somebody to read our mind? When we were infants, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have language, so a good enough mommy kind of reads your mind and knows what your tears mean. Now, if you didn't have the right kind of parenting, which many of us didn't, then we come to our adult relationships expecting our partners to read our minds and know, you should know. And so now I'm turning my husband, my boyfriend, whatever, into my mommy, and then I'm saying to him, you should read my mind and you should know. Well, he doesn't have boobs. He's not your mother. It's not his job description.
No, it's absolutely, and it's tremendously frustrating to us because, as you said, because we are goal-oriented, we see there's a problem. We don't know what that problem is, and we want to solve the problem, but if you won't tell us what that problem is, we can't, and that not only frustrates us, but it makes us angry with you because
yeah.
you obviously have the answer, and you're withholding it from us.
Yes, and it's just a torment, and it's just not fair. Now, I know some women, you know, if you're thinking he already knows, I promise you he doesn't know. And the reason he doesn't know is I explain this again in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, because when you nag, you whine, and you complain, and you set off this ANS arousal in the guy, one of the first things that happens when a guy goes into fight-flight mode is cognitive shutdown. He literally doesn't hear what you're saying. So you think you've told him and you think he knows, so then after the fact you say, well, I've already told you, you know, you should know. He never heard you. The most poignant example of this is a husband and wife that came to me. He's a famous doctor. They're married 35 years, and the wife is doing the nagging, whining, complaining, and she says, and I'm going to divorce you. And she says, I've told you for 35 years. And I look at the guy, and I can see he's in total ANS arousal, total shutdown. He's looking deaf, dumb, and blind. He's in this physiological imbalance that comes from chronic fighting. And I say, you think he's heard you? He's been shut down for God knows maybe 30 years. And I said, just tell him one more time, but say it calmly this time. And this way we won't set off more chemical imbalance. So I swear to God, she tells him calmly exactly what's happening and what she'd prefer. The husband bursts into tears and he says, I never knew you felt that way. I will change. I heard you. And he changed. And I get a call from them like a couple months later, and we've been happy ever since. And I just heard from them a couple years ago. Years and years, decades later, happy. Happily ever after. So this is it. It's
yep.
so simple. It's so simple. Yep.
It's amazing to me because I often get the question from women, how can I make my husband pay attention to me? I talk to him and he doesn't seem to hear anything I say. I tell him things. I tell him to pick things up. I tell him to do things. And
mm-hmm.
he doesn't, I ask him about it later and it's like I never said anything.
He didn't hear.
And I always tell them, well, first of all, because you're talking doesn't necessarily mean that they're listening.
He hasn't heard you.
And the other thing is, if you have a tendency to group things all together as a block of information, if you haven't gotten your listener's attention to begin with, everything you've said is lost.
Totally.
So the most,
and if you're in this chemical imbalance, you'll have to check out Kiss Your Fights Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Men do not hear. They just don't hear.
Right.
They can't hear. It's like it's adaptive, you know. If I'm in fight-flight mode, I'm not sitting and listening. I'm just in survival mode, either fight or flee. I don't hear anything. I don't think. I can't. I have no creative thinking. I'm just gone. I'm in survival. And I don't want to physically belt her, so I flee. And they just flee by just shutting down. They don't have to necessarily physically leave. They can be physically present but mentally shut down, and then they don't hear a thing.
Absolutely.
So tell me one other thing. Who's man's best friend? And you say it's not the dog or the TV remote, and it's not even his partner. So who do you say is man's best friend?
Sadly or happily, depending on how you look at it, it's his penis. Much of our daily thought revolves around our and the fact is that our penis was our first friend when we first discovered it there, even before we knew what all it could do, all its magical properties. And from a sexual standpoint, it's always there for us. When no one else is there, when no one else cares, there's our penis.
You can always go into the bathroom and make friends with him.
Absolutely. And they never, our penis never complains. He's always happy to see us. We generally have a very, very positive, trusting relationship with our penis. And
your penis never talks back to you either.
Never talks back to us, and often rewards us for our loyalty. So we're we've got a very, very positive relationship with our best friend.
Yeah, that's why you have names for him. And
absolutely, we're on very good terms, and we
absolutely.
Just, and you know, we don't talk about it much, but we feel very we rhapsodize about our penis internally. We don't do it too much.
So when a guy gets older, let's say, and his testosterone is depleted, and his penis isn't necessarily high on his list of priorities, does his best friend change?
No, it just becomes his old friend.
My old friend.
He's because we have a loyalty to him, and even if he no longer is as healthy as he once was, or if he's no longer as able to go out and do all the things he used to do, we understand that, and we're loyal to him to a fault.
That's funny. So tell me 5 words that can turn any man into Jell-O. I want to hear what that one is.
Well, there are 5 words that must be used together in a particular order. They don't work independently. But the 5 words that can reduce any guy to Jell-O are: I'm not wearing any underwear. Regardless of the situation, you're out in public with a woman, whether it's your wife or someone you're on a first date or a third date or something. They make that statement, and immediately you're aroused. You can't
think
of anything else.
It just goes right back to where we started, right? They just secretly want you in bed,
exactly.
And that's code for hit it, babe.
Exactly.
That's so funny. So tell everybody how they can find you. Give all your coordinates, okay?
Okay. All right. Well, they can go to everymanseesyounaked.com and find out more about me and my book and how to read my online posts and ask me questions and get answers, or set up coaching sessions on your relationships, or find out just what's going on inside your significant other's head.
We're talking his big head, not his little head, right?
We're talking about both heads. I can explain what's going on either place, and
he'll channel both ends.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is this your YouTube channel? You've been a lot of fun.
Well,
having you.
I've enjoyed being with you. This has been a great discussion. I've had a good time.
This has been Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Visit Dr. Turndorf at AskDrLove.com and follow her on Twitter at AskDrLove and Facebook.com/AskDrLove.
So that's all I have for you this week, and I'll see you next week on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true, so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Wondering how to play the game of life and actually win? Stop wondering and start winning the game of life with the unique, incomparable Lynn Brown. Lynn's powerful, transferable tools stem from her success in the very competitive world of sports and business.
Since Lynn was one of the top athletes in the United States, she understands really well about the athlete's mind, their challenges, and what athletes need. I have confidence to ask Lynn to take care of my professional team just because of Lynn, her passion, and the power she has.
Lynn is passionate about working with kids and with athletes. Her life is a testament to the incredible power of intention to create miracles. Lynn is dedicated to assisting and inspiring leaders with the vision and tools to realize their dreams.
And she wants to help you next. Enhance your overall performance and the ability to reach your goals. Bring your game face on. Visit letter R, letter U, Intuit.com or call 844 letter B, Intuit.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdener work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling@smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1995. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of Dr. Love's relationship advice columns or submit a question to her free advice column. Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, so take advantage of this unique opportunity to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. This show is for you, the listener, so if you have a question for her, call in during the live show broadcast or catch the archive show on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Now, back to Dr. Love. How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
A retreat to open your senses and heal your energy. Join Lynn Brown and Wendy Wolf for Amazing Astra Allies, April 30th through May 2nd in the beautiful Methow Valley. Open to more of your astral experiences. Learn intentional dreaming and receive astral body healings in this serene setting. This retreat is almost full. To register now or learn more, call 206-931-7356 today.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right?
Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.